tonight I'm very happy to talk to you about the attachment and the letting go. In Buddhism, there are two kinds of letting go. If anything bad, you know, you let it go first. But then you practice all the good things. But at the end of the practice, you let go. At the end of the practice, say you cross the river, you have to let go of the boat. You cross the river, you have to let go of the bridge. You don't bring the bridge with you. You don't bring the boat with you. So we have to concentrate on the first letting go. We born as human being. We are not enlightened. The ignorance is the first cause of the suffering, the first and the primary cause of the suffering. Why we do the wrong thing? Because there is ignorance there, right in the mind. So in our mind, there is good and there is bad. The good thing there, we call the bodhicitta, the seed of enlightenment. And the bad thing there, we call the avijja, the ignorance. So opposing to the vijja, that great wisdom. So in order to follow the path, anything bad, we have to let go. Physically, all the negative things, like harming others, stealing, committing sexual conduct, lying, and drinking intoxicating drink, all this, if possible, we have to let go. If we don't, that the bad karma that we are doing would get stronger and stronger. If there is any suffering in life, it comes from the bad karma we have done in the past. We don't know what we have done in the past, but certainly it comes from the bad karma. If born into this world, because of ignorance, we use it in the very wrong way. We have this body and this mouth. Always wrong. If we are not wise, do the wrong thing for our own suffering. So the Buddha taught us to stop anything that bad. Don't do it. Sabba papasa akaranang. Anything bad, don't do it. Don't do it. If we do it, there is the cause of the suffering. There is the suffering, what they call the consequence is the suffering that would follow. No way to escape. So the more we practice, the more we have confidence that anything good at all, it always, if we do, always come to help us, to protect us, look after us. If anything bad done by us, always cause trouble, you know. That we have that kind of strong belief. There's no way to escape. No way. Because it's born in the mind and come back into that mind. If you do it, you get it. So, and then say we like to live happily and peacefully with the whole community, with the whole world, with all sentient beings. We have to be kind and good to all of them. No intention to harm and hurt anyone. So that kind of feeling, good feeling toward others, it goes invisible. You know, you can't see it. But you would feel it. When you come to the good temple, to the good house, to the good friend, you feel it. You feel welcome, comfortable, because that kind of holy atmosphere or peaceful atmosphere arising from the mind of the people. But if you come to a certain place, oh no, you feel uneasy. Say you go to the club and bar, to the gambling place, or you come to the very bad people, you have a very bad feeling. So don't harm and don't hurt anyone. Don't bring any bad feeling toward anybody. You would be welcome anywhere, any place. they say, oh, many good place for you. If you are a harmless person, you feel comfortable, you feel at home with a lot of people around you. But if you don't have that good behavior, you are in trouble. And even about the second one, say if there is anything at all, say the money comes from the corruption. So you take the money to buy food and take care of yourself. So once it comes from the bad karma, this body, because of the wrong kind of life, become bad. And the mind that stay in this bad body can't be otherwise, have to be negative. So have to come from the right way of life. You would feel comfortable. Those who have plenty of money but come from the wrong way, we don't like to say it aloud, we say that they are stolen property, not your true property. It won't make you good. You see that in this world of us, many kinds of corruption, high-rise building all over the place, but people fighting each other because of not being kind and good to each other. So have to be kind and generous. And of course, when you are kind and generous, you're not supposed to go against your good behavior. So you are kind and generous, you're not supposed to live a corrupt life, not taking anything from anywhere and anybody. So know only to give away for the happiness of all other beings. And always, I always say that what goes around comes out, come back to you. This kind of giving, any person on earth who used to give food to others, you have plenty to eat. You feel very comfortable. If you give cloth, you have plenty to wear. Very comfortable life. If you used to help with accommodation, easy to get the house or accommodation. If you used to give the medicine, you will live a long, long life, free from sickness. That's the law of the karma. You do good, receive good. You do bad, you receive bad. What they say that you own a car, you own a house, but you are the temporary owner. Not very long, you would trade in your car, or some people take it, or even your money in the bank. It won't be you. But your karma, either good or bad, become your karma forever. It always there. So here on earth, even in heaven, we can say even that it goes beyond your crematorium the crematorium and the graveyard. But the position you have would not come with you. It would change in the hand, but your karma have to be with you all the time. So please do your best and do the good karma, and then you are the true owner of your good karma. And the good one always look after you, protect you. The bad one harming you and hurting you all the way. So if you are not living a good life, say stealing, you would be a poor person all along. I have seen in my life, a person close to us, quite a number of them, those who don't live a good life, they do the wrong thing, they cannot have a good place. Very difficult. Just enough to pay rent, just to survive. But those who have a clean, very good life, oh, years after years, they build up their, what they call, their saving money, you know, so they can have everything. But a bad one, very difficult. Very difficult indeed. Even say to the gambler, very bad gambler, you know, you give money, say this money for you, to whatever you, to live your life and buy the house. Oh no, it would not happen. If he buy the house, he would sell the house. I have seen myself, quite a few of them. Big money he won, but lost at the end. Had a little bit of what he called comfort, but at the end, the whole money went back to the gambling side again. So that what we call the bad karma. Because once the mind is weak, it's impossible to make it better if it goes in the very wrong way. So kindness and generosity is very, very helpful. We have plenty of friends. And then when you start giving things like that, say, you're letting go for the happiness of others, and it comes back to you. That the happiness you gain from there, oh, far better than the happiness you come from the very wrong way. So why this have to give up from the start? Don't do it. And then what we call the sexual misconduct too. Because that, as a good family, good father, good mother, I always say that good husband and good wife, good human being, have to be very sincere and honest to each other. No lying, no? So the children grow up in such a beautiful and good family, well looked after. After that five precepts, if a person like to observe the eight, the word, the more precepts, or like to be even a monk, temporary or forever, he can be a very good monk because good principle from the start. If he's not good at home, he's not good anywhere. And this is so why this have to let you go. No, I like to encourage all of you to practice. We see this sila as morality as the taproot of Buddhism. Say, if Buddhism like the Bodhi tree, the sila morality is the taproot. Sila pripavito samadhi mahabroho timani sangso. The samadhi meditation, well supported by sila, would bring great benefit. Your mind can come to calmness easily, tranquility easily, because you think of your good deed, good action, good rules you have done to others. But without this good practice, the bad one come to haunt, you know, your mind all the time. Because what is there would come up. Anything strong in your mind, just like the what we call your tape, you know, the talk. So whatever you record, it will come out. But the way it come out, like you have the cattle or the cow, quite a number of them. Surrounded by the fence, and you have the gate. So the strong one would come out first when you open the gate. So or the one that close to the gate, but always the strong one. So any feeling you have, whether good or bad, the strong one come out first. And remember that the mind can take one thing at a time. What I used to say that, or what you call, competitive parties, the law of physics, cannot exist at the same place at the same time. So the good cannot be mixed with the bad. If the good take over, the bad have to be hidden away. And if the bad take over, the good hidden away. So, which one you allow to arise? If the good one, make sure that you have a strong and good karma all the time. So, many of you here, you come from there. Say, even the family separated, but we have one father and mother. They have to be very good. Even they separated, husband and wife can be separated, but not children and parents. Okay? Good father, good mother, always look after good children, you know. Always make children good. So, how necessary, how important is this third precept? And the Buddha, he's there, enlightened, and he looked at the world. He liked to see peace and harmony, happiness arising in the world among the community of human beings. So this is not invented by him, made by him, but has been the rule, supported by him, introduced by him for a long, long time. And then when it comes to the lying, you have to be very careful, no? Because we deal with the truth. The teaching of Buddha is the truth. Morality is the truth. Meditation is the truth, you know. Wisdom is the truth. So you have to be truthful to the truth. And the bad karma from telling a lie, that when you lie to other, you have the bad karma. The consequence come back to you. When somebody tell you the truth, you don't listen to. The Buddha, the Dhamma, the Sangha, so truthful, you don't listen to. But you listen to the lie, to the liar. That's the karma. Very sad, very sad. So, we are against the truth. So, have to be very honest, you know. Truthful, have your mind open to the good one. So, Nibbana is the ultimate one. That once you arrive there, you have to let go of everything. The knowing mind working by itself, stand by itself. And again, the five precepts, not to drink, intoxicating drink, not good. If you can't, minimize it, but stay away from it is the best. Because what we want here is mindfulness. We don't want any poison, anything that could create trouble to the mind and the body. So stay away from it. As you see how many people die, especially in Thailand during the Songkran, our New Year Day, the New Year celebration, many, hundreds of people die. Come from what? From drinking, intoxicating drink, from getting drunk. Yeah. Many here in Australia. So who saved our life then? Indirectly, the Buddha saved our life. The Dhamma, the Sangha saved our life, okay? He taught us not to touch this poison, you know. So if we can stay away, and then one thing about Buddhism is that you lose your money, lose your health, and lose your mindfulness. This, the mindfulness one is very important. Because this is going to be a very important virtue all along. Mindfulness and wisdom will rule what God will stay in the mind of a very good person. So without mindfulness, you lose your way. So you can see this. If the world has no five precepts, then the great tragedy, calamity, the great suffering would happen to the world. So what they call in Thai, if the sila is not called back, the world will run into great tragedy, because people harming each other, causing trouble to each other all along. So when you come to the war, those who have gun, they're fighting each other. In a way, quite a fair game. But when they come to kill the innocent people, the children, the women, and all anyone who are not involved in the war, would know that's a very bad karma, very bad. When it comes to the killing human being, you have to pay the price for 100 life. Born again and killed, born again for 500. So, it's frightening, no? would not live a long life because of that bad karma. So life is priceless, you know. It's beyond. So why it come to life, it stay at the first precept. Then when you come to say, suppose you have all these things, good, very good person. So the major, what they call, kind of the bad karma has been given away by you. So you have good five precepts. You still have to practice, you know, the gradual step. Now it comes to the good meditation. Good meditation, the five precepts take care of this body and this mouth. But the good meditation take care of the eyes, the ears, the nose, the tongue, the body, and the mind itself. So here we have what they call the eyes, the inner, what they call the inner sense sphere, what they call it, and eyes, the ears, the nose, the tongue, the body, and the mind itself. So we have form, sound, smell, taste, touch, and thought. In order to have peace of mind, you have to stay in a very, if possible, in a very quiet place, away from sensual pleasures. Close your eyes and meditate, concentrate on one thing later. Now you can see that have to let go the sensual pleasures. Anything, what we call liking and disliking, concerning the sensual pleasures. You have to concentrate on one thing. So not supposed to see things, not supposed to hear anything. Just say you practice mindfulness of breath. Concentrate on the breath only. As I said, that one, the mind works one thing at a time. So when the mind concentrates on one thing, has no place for other distraction. So for a longer, say you stay in one point for a longer period of time, the emptiness arises. The brightness of the mind arises. So that, very good one. So liking and disliking, we try to prevent ourselves from liking and disliking what we call greed and hatred that come through the eyes, through the ears, through the nose, through the tongue, and through the body, and through the mind itself, through having a very good meditation. So close your eye and then concentrate on one thing. And then in that kind of process, once in the mind concentrate, how it works. The first thing, once you concentrate on one thing, your mind away from what they call the sensual pleasures. Second one, from the negative mind. And then vitaka vichara, you have one a sustained thought, one thing on thought, without thinking of anything, just one only. So away from the sensual pleasure, away from the unwholesome mind, and you have one thing on thought. Here, if it stay longer, what you call the, there's two things arise. There are the joy and happiness arising from the quietness of the mind, what they say. Jitta viveka in Pali, arising from the quietness of the mind. So normally, like when we watch television, that's the different story. You allow things to happen and then you enjoy it, liking and disliking. What you see, if liking, it get what you give, deposit the negative one to your mind. If the bad one you don't like, that deposit again, give to your mind. So increase. This causes distractions and worries. This called what you call greed and hatred. So once you stop, that one's still there, but no new bad karma in this level. You can see that the first one, when you observe the five precepts, no more bad karma physically and verbally. Now you come to meditate, no more liking and dislike, no more bad karma through my own thought. I have only one, I have wholesome thought. So remember, easy to control the body, easy to control this mouth or the bodily action and the speech, but it comes to the heart, the mano karma. Oh, the karma arriving from the mind, unbelievable. When I was telling in one, you have negative one there. We are telling anybody, you know yourself. Liking and disliking is there all the time. We are telling anyone. So it happened all the time. So in order to purify your mind from those negative thoughts, you have to practice meditation. Now the reward after that single mind, the concentration on the mind, or of the quietness of the mind, you have the reward, the joy and happiness. What they call in Pali, viveka champiti sukha. The joy and happiness arise from the quietness of the mind. So please do your best, no? And when you sit by yourself, try to get just have a good concentration, joy and happiness would arise by itself, naturally. When you do the good karma, it always come. But have to make effort, keep concentrating until that what you call piti and sukha from the quietness of the mind. So once you can stop this, you know, from seeing something by practicing meditation, and then after having a good meditation, without telling anyone, anybody, you still know what's happening in your mind. Because it always comes, no matter good or bad, you know. So why you have to be very mindful, very careful about yourself. No matter good or bad, it always tells you what kind of attachment you have, what kind of anger you have. Always there. Because that it comes from inside. As I said, that whatever you have there, it always, if good, bring happiness to you, you will see it. If bad, bring suffering to you, and you see it. So now you can see the attachment. So this what you call it, the middle level. You can see the attachment to the sensual pleasures. You can see, you can understand it, that our attachment to the sensual pleasures. That it's quite for the nuns and for those who like to have a good meditation, no? They meditate on this. So you can see that now there's a what they talk about the five hindrances, okay? One is the sensual pleasures, that's a liking. So in order to stop this in practice, no, you go on, because that sensual pleasures in fact come from the delusion ignorance. But maybe you people might not agree with me, but that's the truth, no? From delusion. And then we have the ugliness of the body or mindfulness of the body go against this one. Say, why are the monks survive for so long and why they have a good monk? Because they see the ugliness of the body. They could not fall in love with the ugliness of the body, you know, because they see that by their eye. So you can see that. And then the other one is disliking, what you call vayapada, or anger. So in order to stop this, the loving kindness, okay? So if there is hatred toward anyone and anybody, you start having loving, may I be happy, may all living beings be well and happy. Keep the five precepts in a good shape or condition, and then send your metta, loving kindness, to all living beings. Don't forget, no, this is a must, what you call, a necessary virtue, because we are living with many people, and all of us are not enlightened. All of us are not advised. They are human beings. We have to give them loving kindness, forgiveness, and loving kindness. Okay? So, of course, it comes together with the loving kindness is possible if you have kanti. Actually, it starts from sincerity, morality, kanti, and metta. You know, sincerity, morality, patience, and loving kindness. So you have to tolerate your faith, your friend, and give them loving kindness. No matter what happened to them, don't hate them. Have a deep compassion. But of course, if you don't like to associate with them closely or physically, you distance your mind from them, you know. May they be very happy. Don't come close to me, you know. I don't like to talk to you or something. But always give that kind of good feeling to all living beings. So then that once there's no anger, there is no greed and lust, the mind is what you call it, is very light, high up. Then the other one is the sleepiness. Sleepiness is not good when you meditate. In Buddhism, laziness as bad as, because they come together, you know. But it's one on the last on the list in the sixth gateway to the downfall or to the great disaster or the great suffering, what they call a paya mukha, no? Laziness is the one. So, sleepiness is not too far from that. And so we have to, must have inspiration, faith, and confidence. And sometimes it comes from eating too much food, so must have moderation in food. If you like to have a good meditation, so in the morning is the best. Say if you have a good meal in the evening and try to have good meditation at night, no, you fall, you're sleepy, you fall to sleep. So your energy has been refined when you get up early in the morning. The body very fresh. Oh, good, very good. Very, very good meditation then. So inspiration and faith and confidence in the teaching is very, very important. So to get rid of that sleepiness. Because here what we want is the awareness and the clarity of the mind. So when you come to this, I like to say that when you come to see the water, if the water is not disturbed, so the water is very clear and calm, and then you can see the mud underneath. Any fish that swim over there, you can see. So the mind, when it comes to the clear and calm position, very, very helpful. You're happy yourself. You look at others in a very happy way, and then you love connect to all living beings, and you see what is in inside you. So don't forget, no? Those who don't study very well, I think because you have distraction and not good, you know, and laziness or sleepiness is not good. So must inspire yourself to do the hard work. And then it come to what we call that uttaccha kuccha, it was one distraction. This in order to stay away from this, they say that the calmness of the mind is very important. So try to come to, without thinking of anything, come to that emptiness of the mind. The peacefulness would arise by itself. Once the mind empty, now everything is okay. But if the mind is not empty, no, you must have that as your base. This is the now it's the four kinds of the hindrances that what you call make the mind impure, make the mind cloudy. You can see, you cannot see the truth in your life. And then vichikicca, this there's a wisdom that goes against. But as long as you have strong belief in the law of the karma, if you have strong belief in the Buddha, the Dhamma, the Sangha, that doubt would be away easily. Because the Buddha is enlightenment, the Dhamma is the truth, and the Sangha is the noble disciple of the Lord Buddha. So some people might not believe that, like what we do, but I would like to tell you know yourself. Say, if this body don't do anything wrong, that's what the Buddha taught. If this mind don't think of anything bad, that's what the Buddha taught. If this mouth of ours don't say anything wrong, that's what the Buddha taught. How it can be wrong? Only the stupid one can say that the teaching is wrong. It's so good for many people. If the five precepts, if you observe the five precepts, there is no war. Of course, that's impossible, you know. But we can see that. So when it comes to this one, once you believe in the Buddha, the Dhamma, the Sangha, easy, strong belief. Just listen to him. What he said, what he taught us, we would do our best to follow and practice it. So first, the five precepts, you stay away from the bad karma, that from the start. And then when you come up to this level of the good practice, what they call the great one practice, you have good meditation. From time to time, you stay away from the sensual pleasures, from the anger, from the distractions and worry. Stay away from the sleepiness, stay away from the doubt. Your mind is in a very good condition. It will get better and better. You can understand the teaching of the Lord Buddha properly. Then, again, when have to we work on, say, if you practice meditation from time to time, you try to dig out the cause of the suffering that inside. So liking and disliking, work on this. Don't stay away from this. Anger and this, we let go of the attachment. This in a high level, no? Let go the attachment to the body. So when we see the body as this is, as they are, and then we would not have any attachment to it. But if we don't see as it is, as they are, we attach to it. And the anger is so bad that one, we have to get rid of it. It's a black spot in the mind. I would say that if we can go into the tumor and it could be a cancer. So a very angry person can harm and hurt many living beings. You build up your property for a long, long time, but when the fire comes, can burn everything completely. The anger without control could harm you a lot. What you have done would be completely destroyed. So don't lose your mindfulness, no? Don't have to be very, very, very careful. So after good meditation, then what you call the then I like to go back to the what you're going to get from the good meditation. I told you about the joy and the happiness that arise from the quietness of the mind, and later on from there, from the very good meditation, what they say in the scripture. Samadhi, champiti, sukhang, the piti and the sukha that arise from the good samadhi. So the quietness of the mind is one level. The samadhi, good concentration, is a deeper or higher level. That's a very certain form of happiness that arrive. And then it come to what we call the equanimity and one-pointedness of the mind. Okay? When it comes to that, now we can see that we can let go of everything. When the mind calm and if peaceful and let go at this level, no, at the level of good meditation, equanimity and one-pointedness on mind, upekkha and equanimity, what they say. So do your best, stay away from the five lenses, but in practice, make sure that you don't use your eye, your ear to cause trouble to yourself. Stay away from watching movie and all other things if you like to have good meditation. Otherwise, just keep the five precepts and practice meditation from time to time. If you like to follow further up, you have to stop all these things. Because liking and disliking come too. So this is the what you call the middle level. And we don't allow any bad thing or negative thing come through our eyes, our ears, our nose, our tongue, our body, and our mind itself. We try to what we call purify our mind. So by concentrating on one thing, and then we see, try to see the cause that arise from why all the bad things still come. You can see that liking and disliking, greed and hatred or lust and anger, all these two. And then these two become the great delusion. So if you like to purify your mind, stay away from the five hindrances and then try to have control over your sixth sense. But to destroy the lust of greed and anger completely, you have to work on your good meditation, mindfulness of the body all along, and spread your loving kindness all the time. So one day, this anger and greed come to an end. On and on, arising from your mind. It's so good, no? When it comes to the practice, once the mindfulness established, whatever happened in this world, no matter how bad people are, you know that what you call the trouble, the cause of the trouble arising from your mind. You can have mindfulness and wisdom. Just be patient first, no? At the beginning, be patient. Don't say anything. Don't act anything. Stay calm. Be very mindful. And not very long, wisdom arises. Once wisdom arises, you're all happy. You don't cause any trouble to anyone. You know very well what the person does, what happened to you, where is the cause of the trouble. Because once the wisdom arrives, mindfulness help. Oh, this is how we stop the trouble. All in all, it become because of what you call the mental activities. Come from there. When you form your thought, and then the trouble arise. Once you stop it, no. So, but it take a long time to say no to the bad one. But when the mindfulness is there and wisdom is there, as in the past, we don't have gun, no? We have only the what you call the arrow and the sword. The arrow used to shoot far, what you call a long distance, but the sword is to just the close, what you call, when you come to the close battle. So, sti and panya compared to the sword and the arrow. Never let it down somewhere. Always with you. What they say, always with you as you go to the war in the long path. Because that you can kill the army. The ignorance that arising in you, once the sati, mindfulness and panya, the wisdom arise, they can help you all along, can stop the cause of the trouble. So the mind get better and better. And then it come to, as I said, that here We talk about the root, what the tap root of Buddhism, four noble truths. This one is very important. If people don't understand the four noble truths, that Buddhism would not grow. The path leading to the end of the we have suffering, the cause of the suffering, the end of the suffering, and the path leading to the end of the suffering. Okay? So, in order to understand it properly, we have to meditate, no? What they call the suffering, birth is suffering, old age, sickness, and death are suffering. So we are after birth, no? We are aging every day. We're getting sick every day. We're getting old every day. And we are dying every day. You have to see this, you know? See as it is, as they are. There's the mind, the knowing mind, see the physical body. See as it is, as they are. Once you understand that with a good meditation, you know that the body itself is one thing, the mind is another. No? First, because of we are not enlightened, so we attach to the conventional world. Okay? It's me, myself, my back, and my tea, and like that. What we call conventional world. So we attach to it. So when we say this, that's me, then my old age, my sickness, my death. But if we see this as the four elements, aging process happen to this body. Sickness happen to this body. Death happen to this body. Or we can say that aging process happen to the four elements, the earth, the water, the fire, and the air element. Sickness happen to all these elements. And then even death happen to this, what do you call these four elements? Not the knowing mind. So if we stay with the conventional world, we would say that my body, then my old age, my sickness, and my death. Then my great suffering happened because attachment to this body. So when we let go, but have to train yourself to accept this kind of truth. If you let go, it's not me dying. It's the body. And even that body itself doesn't know its own old age, sickness, and death. Who knows? The mind knows. The mind never die. The mind never get sick. The mind never have any old age. Always fresh. Remember, what we always say that we're getting old, like my age, but the defilement still there, strong. Many people have the same. Those who don't practice greed, hatred, still there, strong. So that means that because of that knowing mind, never get old. No death happening to the mind. But the body, we get weaker and weaker day by day. So once you understand that, you can let go of it. So there is no, the body itself doesn't know its own suffering. Like the chili doesn't know its own taste. So the tongue, who knows it? The knowing mind knows it. So if this, the no old age, no sickness and death, if I look after this mind properly, have a good meditation and good wisdom, we don't have to care about the old age of the body. When it comes to time when we have to depart, we can let go easily. Because it's not us. But then we come to the ultimate truth, not the conventional one, you know. Now we come to, and then why? Why all of us attached to this body then, or attached to this old age, sickness, and death? Why? Because we are ignorant. We have the craving, what they call, for the sensual pleasures. So what we crave for is not the old age, is not the sickness, is not the death. We crave for the youth, what they call, to the youth, to the young and beautiful body, you know, all this. But here we can see that old age, when old age changes, what do you call it? When youth change, it become old age. You see? When say good health change, it become sickness. So and then death come. So here we can see that old age, sickness and death, and youth, and freedom from sickness or always in the same body. So what make us attached to it? The use of the body, young body, beautiful body, handsome body, pleasant body that we attached to. And then the two things here, one is the bed, the other is the hook, you know. So you like the bed, you know. You don't like the hook. So if the fish understand properly that there's the hook inside before the bed, no fish would dare to buy it. If we have a good wisdom to understand that there is a suffering beyond the youth, the handsomeness of the body, the beauty of the body, we will not fall into trouble. We will stay away. So this, that the Buddha taught us. If you like to come to the end of the suffering, you have to let go of the attachment to the body. Because you have to. It is very, very, very beautiful teaching, though. Very, when you get older and older, you see, beautiful. Because you don't attach to, you know. Don't worry. Let it go. Let it go. Like that. And the craving for the sensual pleasures is the cause of trouble. So when that sensual pleasures disappear, or when the body become old, then the trouble start. You know that? You will see that. So why? We have to maintain our virtue all along. As a family, as husband and wife, you survive only because of the virtue. Sincerity, honesty, and respect to each other. Duty and commitment to each other. Not the pleasure of the body, okay? When you get old, have separate room. You don't want to stay close to each other. Oh, that's the truth in life. But the virtue make you very happy all along. You're young, you're together, you're old together, and then the children well look after. So this you have to understand. And then when it comes to now what you call the body, what you call the in the five aggregates of the body, the vedana, the feeling, perception, mental activities and consciousness. So I like to deal with the feeling, the happiness and suffering we have. Oh, in Buddhism, very good advice. If all these things, it come and go, it arise from the mind, and come and go, it doesn't stay there forever. If you have mindfulness, it go immediately, even the unpleasant feeling. Because you know that no matter how much you have happiness, you cannot store it up. You cannot, what you call that, put somewhere. Come and go, come and go. So, if you have peace of mind after suffering, oh, beautiful. But people always have stupidity, ignorance, obsession with what happened to them in the past. In fact, they are not living at the present moment. They depend on the past. So obsession take over. Like the trouble that we have in the society, go to the court and so on, because the attachment, what happened to them in the long past, they bring it up. And then some of them, because of the victim, they go crazy just because of the attachment to the obsession of the past. They are beautiful human beings. All of us, including the Buddha, make a mistake. Okay? Why we have to attach to that? It's gone, no? Forgive. So, if you can, this is the teaching of the Buddha. Not only the bad one, even the good one, it's gone already. So, our ability to make sure that we are mindful, we are calm and peaceful. That what we call it that happens constantly, you happy forever. You understand? So, pleasant feeling, unpleasant feeling come and go. You're not supposed to attach to it. Be mindful of them, and then they come and go. You stay calm, you're very happy. And now, when it comes to the feeling, what we say here, you can see, normally, conventionally, normally people have pleasant feeling, unpleasant feeling, sukha vedana, dukkha vedana, the adukkha masukha, neutral feeling. They don't come to the equanimity. That in Buddhism, equanimity is the best. The mind calm and let go if anything goes beyond our control. Let the law of the karma work out itself. Those who do good receive good, they do bad receive bad. I don't like to interfere with them. So this, you can see that when it comes to practice, don't forget, equanimity, what we call, we have the four kinds of sublime virtue. Metta, loving kindness to all. Karuna, compassion to the poor and educated, to the desperate. And mudita, joy with those who are happy and successful in life. And equanimity, when it comes to the time, or the condition is beyond our help, our support. We cannot interfere. So we stay calm. But if we have equanimity with our compassion, with our loving kindness, that not equanimity. It's just like what we call the equanimity of the buffalo, who doesn't know any heat, any any rain like that, what the teacher said, you know. But we can see that our equanimity in the samadhi, you can see that your thought away from the sensual pleasures, away from the unwholesome one, you know, and then concentrated, and then there's the joy arise, and then when joy subside, peace arise, one pointedness of mind. And equanimity. Okay? You go through all this. So your equanimity is the best. So when you come to this feeling, have to understand, let go. Don't attach to it. The mind never dies. It will take care of itself with mindfulness and wisdom. Oh, beautiful. So the cause of suffering come from the what they call the tanha, the craving. Here is the what we call is the rough form. Craving for the sensual pleasures, that kama tanha, because we don't see the hook. We see only the bait. So why the fish get hooked? can't go anywhere, have no freedom and die. So have to be very careful. Before you make any decision, you do anything, have to be very careful. You have to understand So when your mind is clear and calm, you would understand. So is it why we it necessary for us to practice from the start? I can tell you, if you never harm and hurt anyone, and then full of loving kindness to all other, you would know the bad person. You would know who is bad, because your practice is opposing to what you call is different from them. If you never steal anything from anyone, you would know who living a corrupt life. You would understand. You would know their greed. If you practice a lot of generosity you have done now, you would know who is greedy, who is not. And if you are very sincere and honest, a very good person, you would know who is not. What make you bad, what make you good? You would know easily. With we always that principle, you know, when the commitment and principle, it helps you like this. When it comes to the time, say, if you never kill anything, any living for a long time, when you come to the certain time, say, you have been bitten by a mosquito, you would not kill it straight away, you know? Or anything coming to disturb you, you would not harm it straight away. No. You would not take what there is left over by anyone. No. Because of that commitment to the strong morality. And then you can't make that mistake. So build up a lot of loving kindness, and then you have a good feeling toward all living beings. And when you see the sensual pleasures, so if you still live a human life, have family, have partners, and so on, stick to the 5%. That's good enough. Only when in Buddhism, like the advice ladies, no. Why they have the observing day, the 8 day of the waning moon and waxing moon, and every 15 day they observe the 8 precepts. They come to the temple and observe precepts. Stay from having any relation, not eating after midday, no entertainment, no music, no beautification of the body, and not sleeping on the high bed. So that 8 precepts and the sense control come together, and good meditation come together. So you prepare for your own journey, no? And then the craving for the existence, come from the start. You know, you like to have this, be in that kind of position, have a good condition and position, and so on. And all on the mind that not having enough, no contentment, you don't understand what you call the ignorance that arises from the mind. It always what you call the telling you to do wrong thing all the time. There's two things coming up, the good and the bad. From the wisdom arising in the mind will tell you to do the good. From vidya, from the wisdom, but from the ignorance, avidya, it always bring you to the trouble. And not only that, this kind of craving, the craving for non-existence, you understand that? So there is always sickness and death there. This craving for the non-existence of the always sickness and death, oh no, it's impossible, frustrating, you know. How could that be? How could that happen? So if we get rid of them, we accept the fact that in fact, if we practice properly, you have that bodhicitta, the what you call the seed of enlightenment. When you come to enlightenment, oh, happy forever. You let go of everything. And when it comes to the good meditation, after you have to use the the insight to understand the first one, no? The dukkha, the suffering first, see old age, sickness and death, and separation from what you love and so on. See as clear as possible. Once you see suffering as suffering, you will move away. The moving away as if you stay away from the cause of the suffering. And then the longer distance you stay away, there is a sense of the end of the suffering. What you want, the end of suffering would arise there. And that kind of process is the path already. The path, you're walking along the path. But remember, you must have a sila, because in the path itself, we have the samadhi, right view, right understanding, right thought, this classified as wisdom, and right speech, right action, right attitude as meditation. So there are the roots, what you call, of the good practice. So after having good sila, we have right effort, right mindfulness, and right concentration. So here, the effort have to be made all the time. So don't be lazy, because laziness is the downfall. So keep practicing based on good morality. You keep practicing, make effort, and then you have good mindfulness, good concentration, and then wisdom arise. Okay? Once the day wisdom arise, you can let go of everything. You can see that the knowing mind is one thing, what you call the rupa, what you call the physical body, is another. The nama, what you call feeling, perception, mental activities, consciousness, is another. Come and go, come and go. And it, in fact, the cause of the suffering itself, it's sanya, what you call perception, and sankhara, mental formation. If you stop thinking, that means good meditation. But it's hard. We must come to the one point of mind and good concentration. After that, once your mind is calm, peaceful, you see as it is, as they are, and let go of it. This time you can let go properly and have no trouble. So the knowing mind would stay by itself without having any trouble with anyone. So we can see that this knowing mind has this body as the house. What they say that without the body, that knowing mind knows it's there very well. When I come to the human being, I will do all the good things in my life. I will walk along the path and come to the end of the suffering like that, no? But when it comes to the womb, still remember, no? But when it come out of the womb, have a little body, and then that body, what you call, have a feeling, and that knowing mind attached, claim, dare to claim that this my body, this myself. Oh, that's a trouble. So when they claim the body is himself or herself, and then my old age is myself, my sickness is myself, my death is myself, that is the cause of the trouble. So I would like to tell you that if there is any letting go, let go of the bad one first, and then build up the good one. In the gradual practice, what the Buddha taught Yasa and his father and all the friends after the five what they call the disciples, Panchavakiya, he talked about dana, generosity first. No? Dana katha, talk about generosity. It is a must for all of us. Have to be kind and generous. Give away the gift for the happiness of others. We call generosity, okay? And then sila katha, talking about morality, give away the bad action and the bad speech. Okay? You come up to this. From this level, two things. You're born as good human being up in the heaven. But there is old age and sickness and birth and death of human being and of the deity. Okay? It's not sure. It's impermanent. You can come to the bad rebirth at any time. Now, it comes to nekamma. after what you call walking away from the heavenly state, a good one, because the good one is impermanent. Some good people used to say to me, "Oh, I don't like to waste my time in heaven. I like to be enlightened now, here on this present life." So, say if anything good, and then divide by three things: impermanent, anicca, dukkha, anatta. Nothing left, because it is not you. You understand that? Everything impermanent. How can be reliable? Your body is impermanent. Now you're strong. You're getting older day by day. Now you're happy. Another, maybe tomorrow, not happy. Like that. So it's unreliable. So if you attach to this how impermanent, you are in suffering. And all in all, doesn't belong to you. This body, the whole universe, doesn't belong to you. Anatta. So, what use of being born as a human being, as deity in heaven? No. After a long time there, you come back again. Face old age, sickness, and death. Oh, no. No. No good. Have to attain enlightenment, okay? Nibbana is the best. So why they talk about the great advantage of renunciation? So having the eight precepts as the beginning, you know, start from here, and then you can control your six senses. When you are able to control your six senses, have good meditation, the whole world falls flat. Okay? Nothing. Like an old monk like me, what I like to see is the temple, the Buddha image, the statue, and the stupa. Or all the good books, good people. Not the high-rise building, not all that, no, no. It doesn't mean anything, because it doesn't help. Of course, maybe communication and so on, but doesn't help. I can tell you how sometimes I feel very sad. I used to see now the monk have to be very modern. So he looked at that like this, all the time, no? For long hours. And I saw the monk who have talked on the phone and have the broom, no? Sweeping for hours. The job is not done. I could not. I could not curse the technology, you know. Oh no. How could I appreciate all these things? There's a good and bad there. But as we see it, very harmful. It destroy what you call it. When it comes to the great decline of Buddhism, we don't don't blame anyone else. We don't blame the outsider. We blame the bhikkhu, the monk, bhikkhuni, the nun, upasaka and upasika, male supporters and lady supporters. We don't blame anyone. They're the one who destroyed Buddhism. Okay? So the other, they don't know anything. So, but the one who was there, and without understanding the teaching of the Buddha, so very important that you have to be a good person from the start, sincere and honest. Okay? With the good five precepts, when you become a monk, you have the sincere and honest. It's there. No? And then you come to, because you are truthful, you come to the great truth. The Buddha, what they call the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha. But if you're not practicing, you exploit the institution. You harm and hurt Buddhism. No good. It is impossible, say, if you put this way, say, if you don't observe the five precepts, I'd like to ask you, If you want happiness in this life, where you get it from? From what kind of condition, from what kind of situation, from what kind of people? So, you have to break precepts to make you happy. Drinking, telling lies, sexual misconduct, even killing, stealing. But if you keep the five precepts properly, generosity, loving kindness, compassion to all other beings, very, very helpful. And here on earth, if you're happy with everyone, there in heaven, you're happy in everyone. You're there, no? With the Maitreya in heaven, you know? And coming, enlighten and help all other living beings. Oh, if you're not good, no. Very sad. So, all of us will have some form of connection with Buddhism. You have to be very careful, no? Whether you follow, you are a good son, a good daughter of the Buddha, or a bad one, you know. A bad one, no good. So I have to understand, and that the so generosity, and then morality help you to achieve what you happiness as human being, happiness in the heaven, in the highest heaven, and if you are to go beyond that, you have to see the great disparities of the sensual pleasures, or the sensual world, because they are all impermanent, and who attached to it have a lot of suffering, and all is not belong to us. So that mind have to renounce from all this stand by itself, through letting go attachment to the body, letting go attachment to the what you call the spiritual phenomena, the what you call the nama rupa, like in Abhidhamma, citta, what they call that, citta, cetasika, rupa, nibbana. Citta is the knowing mind, cetasika, something come from the knowing mind, and all thought, and then nama, cetasika, rupa, not nama, rupa and nibbana. Nama is the cetasika already. So you use the knowing mind to understand the body properly and let go the attachment of it. You know, you use knowing mind to understand the process of the mind, that all the come from the feeling, perception, mental activities, consciousness properly and let go of it. Then you come to nibbana. Citta, cetasika, rupa, nibbana. So four words. So like to end my talk, no? Don't forget, let go of the bad one from the start and attach to the good one. And when you arrive at nibbana, let go of everything, okay? Any question? So let go of the bad one again. Huh? Don't forget any action, negative one, please. Not helpful. Always have a strong belief in the law of karma. Have a strong belief that whatever good thing I have, it always help me, protect me, looking after me. If anything bad, it harm me and hurt me. I won't do it. No. You have to say to yourself, anything good, I would perfect it, you know, until I come to Nibbana. Mm-hmm. Okay?